The use of AI, artificial intelligence, has experienced significant growth in the United States and even in the church. Here are a few stats from Barna Research. Majority of pastors are using AI, with only 13% saying they do not use AI. The most common use are brainstorming, 50%, graphic designs, 37%, biblical research, 36%, discussion questions, 34%, administrative tasks, 34%, and about 24% now report using AI to help write or edit sermons. Hi, this is Sonia Hines, and welcome to Spotlight. Today, we're discussing a topic that is rapidly changing the way people work, learn, and communicate, and it's used by pastors in the church, and that is AI. Joining me today is Pastor Matt Watkins. He is the pastor of Beacon Baptist Church in Clay, New York. Welcome, Pastor Matt.
Thank you for having me.
What is your initial reaction when you hear those stats of AI becoming so widely used by pastors?
Yeah, it's not surprising. It's understandable. I think most pastors would admit that, you know, the primary responsibility they have in a week, if they're a teaching pastor in a church, is preparing the weekly sermon. That occupies gobs of time, and you fit other meetings and phone calls and visits and things like that. The primary task is, you know, studying Scripture and preparing to have it so on your heart that you can speak from your heart on a Sunday morning. So any way to expedite that, and there's obviously, even before AI existed, there's lots of really good software and tools that we can use. AI is, in many regards, it's next level, and it really can be a time saver in a good study companion in many ways.
So with all the things that I mentioned, for research, brainstorming, administrative tasks, and even sermons, where do you think the line should be drawn when it comes to using AI in the church?
I don't know a lot about using it for administrative tasks. Like, I've used it to edit letters that I wrote word for word and said, hey, clean this up for grammar and, you know, for tone and stuff. So if by administrative tasks you mean that, I think that can be helpful. I think graphics was one of the things that was listed in Barna's thing. I think that that's absolutely fine, especially if you're in a church where you don't have a team of people to do that kind of stuff. It's great to be able to put quality graphics out. But where I would draw the line, I think it can be used as a study tool. I would say we got to be careful what we mean by study tool. If we're looking for help with cross-referencing, if we're looking for help of generating a list of data points from the scriptures, comparing some ideas, maybe generating an outline, that's where I think, and this is my opinion, I think that that's where it begins to cross a line. I believe that the Spirit of God works in the heart of a pastor to communicate, because pastors, they're pastors of what? A flock of people. And if there really is a connection between a pastor and his people, the Spirit of God is going to bring things up in his mind and in his thoughts as it relates to the Word of God, which he inspired, to lead that pastor down a path of thought that it should emerge from the text, but is also in some regards a bit fluid. I like to call that the illuminating power of the Holy Spirit as he works in the heart of a pastor to communicate to those people. No AI can do that. It's just going to give you a very generalized idea of this passage. And that's not to say that AI is not good. I've seen outlines. My son-in-law, in fact, I shared a story with you before recording, how my son-in-law shared with me, said, hey, Mr. Watkins, what are you going to preach on Sunday? And then he spoke into his phone, and it was amazing what it had put together. It just wasn't personal or related to our people in any way, shape, or form. But it was scary good.
Yeah, so AI, it can be accurate.
Yeah.
But it's sterile.
Wonderful. That's way better. I should have just said that. It's accurate, but it's sterile.
What safeguards would you say that pastors should implement when using AI for biblical or theological research?
One verse comes to mind, you know, 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show yourselves approved unto God, a workman that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. You know, like athletics or music or any other thing, there's no shortcuts. You have to put the time in to develop the neural pathways. If you're a musician, if you're an athlete, you have to develop those neural pathways with muscular building and coordination. I would say the same thing is wrapped up in that idea of study. There's no replacement for that. That doesn't go away, even with the advent of, you know, incredible AI resources. I think a pastor still needs to be putting that time in. This can be a tool to bring him deeper and further and quicker along in his studies, But it is no replacement for getting into the text himself and looking at the individual words and phrases, the syntax of a passage, the context, all of those things, and then comparing that with actual live people that you're going to communicate to. Just no replacement for it.
Would you say that if a pastor decides that he's going to use AI for preparing his sermons, mm-hmm. what do you think as far as a congregation? Do you think they have a right to know that?
I do. Yeah, 100%. I admit it feels stupid and cheap to admit, hey, AI did this. But I did that recently. The first time I ever used AI in a sermon, I was preaching on Jesus when he converted the water to wine. And I don't know anything about making wine. So I'm like, well, let's just try to wrap our minds around the scope of what Jesus did at the snap of a finger.
Right.
And so I had AI do all the heavy lifting, like, okay, how many grapes does it take to make one bottle of wine? Well, how many bottles of wine are in the, you know, the aforementioned amount of vintage that he created? And then on and on it went. And in like seconds, it produced, hey, you would need enough grapes to fill the truck bed of an F-150. I was like, that's relatable. I mean, that's a lot of grapes. And then they had to be mashed and then juiced and blah, blah, blah. So I felt compelled to tell people, like, look, you need to know. I didn't spend hours and hours digging this up. I just put this in chat. But I think that we should. And I think it keeps us honest and brings integrity to our teaching, yeah. preaching.
So in talking about members of the church mm-hmm. and AI being so widely available, do you think that AI could become a replacement for pastoral counseling or scripture?
Yeah, I think that that's a real concern. And I think our people need to be cautioned about looking to AI for that kind of support. I just would be very leery about decision-making and seeking inspiration. For thousands of years, what have we done? We've gone to our friends in Christ, who also share the Spirit of God, and we minister, and we do the one another's back and forth. There will never be a replacement for life-on-life exchange.
Yeah, I think as Christians, as we navigate the use of AI, I think we have to be careful, or anyone, you have to be careful putting your personal concerns in there, especially if you're looking for advice, because it's gathering information mm-hmm. on you. And with it, it will begin to try to tailor their advice to this person that they are coming to know.
Sonia, in addition to that, one of the things that has been proven over and over about AI is it will tell you what you want to hear in some regard. Like if it knows that you lean toward a particular viewpoint or position, it will affirm you in that rather than challenge you on the finer points of that. So to your point, you know, you come to AI and you say, well, I'm and you wouldn't phrase it this way, but I'm doing this particular thing that another human being with the Spirit of God would say, that's sin and that's wrong. That's idolatry of the heart. And you need to confess and repent that. AI might be able to say, well, if it really helps you and you feel this way, you know, and God gives us all things richly to enjoy and you should blah, 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 blah. Or you could see how just as human beings can take scripture out of context,
right?
AI can do the same thing, especially if it's tuned to kind of tell you what you want to hear.
Exactly. As we end our conversation, what advice would you give to pastors who are using AI or are contemplating the use of artificial intelligence?
I would say cite your sources. And I think it keeps you honest because you can say some brilliant things and it's not connected to anything except for AI. And people need to know that that's not your original thought, but that came from, you know, AI. Just as we would, you know, if we quote anybody else, John Piper, John MacArthur, anybody, we need to give them credit where credit is due. I think that really helps to keep us honest. Know where your line is and leave plenty of room in your sermon preparation. If you're going to use AI for ministry, know where your line is. It's one thing for it to gather some data for you and do some of the lifting like I've described at other points of this interview, but to look at how application should be for your church, that still requires what good old-fashioned scripture calls study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Well, again, my guest is Pastor Matt Watkins. He is the pastor of a Beacon Baptist Church in Clay, New York. Pastor Matt, thank you for joining us today, just giving your perspective and helping us to really think through the use of artificial intelligence in the ministry. Thank you for being here today.
My pleasure.
This is Sonia Hines with Spotlight. Thank you for listening.
Spotlight, a public affairs program of the Mars Hill Network. Opinions expressed are not necessarily those of the Mars Hill staff, management, or board of directors. Inquiries and suggestions are welcome. Email them to spotlight@marshillnetwork.org or regular mail to Spotlight in care of Mars Hill Network, 4044 Mackays Road. That's spelled M-A-K-Y-E-S, 13215.